So yesterday we left off with the three shitot regarding the determination of when somebody is posel a woman. Just quickly go over them. The Gemara is going to go, what are the nafkaminos between these different opinions? On the bottom of Ayin, Dalet Amud Bet, the Tana Kamo, Tana Rabbanan, Ben Teisha Shanim V'Yom Echad, Geramoni, U'Moavi, Mitzri, V'Edomi, Kuti, V'Natin, Chalal, U'Mamzer, Shebo, Al-Kohenet, V'Alaviyah, V'Abat Yisrael, Pasluah. So that's it. If you're over the age of 9 years and one day, and you belong to any of these classifications of Sulim, then you are Posel, the woman, right, that he has a relationship with. Biyotzi Markoshes are O Pasul Posel. That as long as he produces, the offspring produced from their relationship is Pasul, then he is Posel, the woman. Bechotze Inzer O Pasul, Eno Posel. However, if he doesn't produce an offspring that is Pasul, then he is not Posel, the woman. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, if you can marry his daughter, then you are permitted to marry his wife. Right? If he can't marry his daughter, then you can't marry his wife. Now the Gemara is going to ask, what are the nafkaminos between these three different descriptions? What creates a psul for a woman? So, Ma'ika ben Tanakama or ben Rabbi Yossi. What's the difference between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi? So, Ma'yokanan mitzri sheni ika ben ayo. The difference between them is a mitzri sheni. Why? Because the mitzri is permitted to join Klal Yisrael in the dor shlishi, in the third generation. So therefore, a mitzri sheni produces a mitzri shlishi. So the mitzri shlishi is permitted. So that means that, technically, if you hold the Rabbi Yossi, then the wife should be fine because you produce a mitzri shlishi, which is mutzi level of a cow, then his wife is okay from a mitzri sheni. Tana Hanakama, on the other hand, just enumerates mitzri, right? And mitzri should be irrespective of what type of zera he produces. That's Zarmi Yochanan, mitzri sheni ika beinayim. Ushneim lo lamdu elami koin gadol bealmanah. That mitzri sheni is what's between them, and they both learned it out from the parsha of koin gadol bealmanah. Why? The Tanakama savar ki koin gadol bealmanah. Similar to a koin gadol bealmanah. Ma koin gadol bealmanah should be atob be'aveira. Uposel ba, right, that the bia is a inappropriate, halachically inappropriate bia, and it causes her to be a chalo, a chalala. Av kosher bia toba, avera, posel. So any bia that replicates the same bia like an almanala coin gadol, which is a bia sura, will also generate a psul. Rabbi Yossi savarki coin gadol b'almana. Ma coin gadol b'almana shizar o pasul. Right, that a offspring of a relationship of an amanah kohen gadol is a chlal, so that offspring, right, is pasul. Therefore, posel, uposel, right. Therefore, and it also affects the wife because we know there by kohen gadol it says that there is chalalim, that they shnei chalalim. There's not only is the zera pasul, but also the woman's pasul. Afkoshu zera pasul posel. So it's over here. Anytime that the offspring is problematic, that's what we'll call the psul for the woman. Afuke mitzri sheni. That excludes the case of a mitzri sheni. Shein zero pasul. Right? Because a mitzri sheni, a relationship with the mitzri sheni produces a mitzri shlishi who is permitted to join the cow. Damar kara, but anima shayu do lahem, dor shlishi yavo lahem kal hashem. That the children are born from the third generation are allowed to join the kal hashem. So therefore, since his children are permitted, that means that his via with the woman will not be posel her. Now, Rabbi Shimon Gomer, kosha atano sebito atano se omenoto. What is Rabbi Yossi adding or changing that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel does not include? The difference between them is a ger amoni umoavi. Why is that? Because a amoni moavi is not permitted by Kal Hashem. But an amonit and a moavit is permitted in the Kal Hashem. Why so? Now what you can have, you're going to have a situation where if they have a daughter, their daughter is going to be permitted to marry into the kahal. So ushneim lo lamdu elami koin gadol be'almanah. Again, they both learned it from the same paradigm, right? The Rabbi Yossi tavarki koin gadol be'almanah. Ma koin gadol be'almanah shizar o pasul uposel. That his zera is pasul, right? That he produces a chalal uposel, and he is posel the almanah the chalala. Afko shol zera pasul posel. So also over here, and ger amori amoavi, right? That the zera is pasul. Right, then he will also be posel. Now zero pasul, not all the zera, but at least a portion. Any male that is born to him is zero pasul. Therefore, he'll be posel. Reb Shimon Gamliel, but koin gadol b'amanah, my koin gadol b'amanah should call zero pasul. All of his offspring, meaning that whether it's a girl or a boy, male or female, born to a koin gadol b'amanah, they will both be chalalim, or they'll be psulim lekuna. Af kosher zaro pasul. Afilu nekevot. Right, that would include even females, I mean males and females. Afuke geramoni umavid nekevot habu. This excludes a geramoni umavid nekevot habu ksherot lekevot b'ha'kal. Because the women are permitted to join Klal Yisrael. Why? We have a principle. Damar Amoni v'lo Amonit. Moavi v'lo Moavit. Meaning that the restriction against Amon and Moab only applies to the males and not to the females. Therefore, that will be a distinction between them. Obviously, there is that one opinion of Rabbi Dusai ben Rabbi Yehuda that believes that if a Kohen Gadol marries, right, when he generates a... If he marries, a Chlal marries into a Almanah from the Klal Yisrael, you'll also have that in situation where the males will be chalalim, and the females, the daughters, will be, right, Yisraelim Ksherim, or Ksherot, Lekuna. That's another anafkamina, but that's unique to Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Yehuda. Here it's the Kuli Amun. Okay. Amar Rav Chisda, Akol Muldim Be'almanat Isa, Shepsula Lekuna. Everybody agrees that a widow, right, of an Isa, is Psula Lekuna. What exactly an Isa? Isa, right, is dough. But dough means that something got mixed up. There was a psul that got mixed up in the family. So there's a safek regards to the family. And amana b'isa, that safek generates a psul for the kuna. So Gemara says, my meko mehani t'nai. Who is the most lenient? Of these three opinions that we saw so far, who's the most lenient? That is Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Bekamar, kosher atano se bito, atano se almanoto. And his position is, if you can marry the daughter, you can marry the widow. What does that come to exclude? That it comes to exclude an amanat isa because she is psula lekuna, because just her daughter, that's the product of such a marriage, would also be restricted to the kohen. So too, this amanat, this widow, will be restricted to the kohen. La fuke. It comes to exclude mehani tnai. It comes to exclude from this tnai. Bitnan. Mishnah. Hey, Rabbi Shua, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira, al amanat isa kshera lekuna. That a widow of an amanat isa is kshera lekuna. Now we have a fourth opinion, right?
This is the most makel.
Right. Now this is the most makel. Right. So the most makel that we had seen until this time comes to exclude the case of amanat isa. Who is the one who says that amanat isa is okay, that you have to exclude it? That is the position of Rabbi Shua and Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira. And why is this? My timer. This is a very difficult, I'm just going to tell you ahead of time, it's a very difficult Gemara. This Rashi is extremely difficult to explain. It says, Avi Sveik Sveika, or Sveik Sveika the Kula. Over here it's a Sveik Sveika. Now what is the Sveik Sveika over here? So the way Rashi explains Sveik Sveika, I'll show you it inside, just so you can believe it. As Rashi says, if you look up in the Rashi, it says, Amanati Sa, it's on the right side where it says, Daf Yudalad, in the middle of the Rashi. It says, Amanati says, the Daf Yudalad in the Rashi, it's in the narrow lines, probably about 10, 12 lines down in the narrow lines. Right, it says, Amanati sa, b'tuvot mefaresh, Amanat, safek chlal. Right, so that's a widow of a chlal, someone who's a safek chlal. Right, she'aita mi'urebet b'sveikot bala, right, b'sveikot bala ya safek, v'hi ba'a mikocho. She is a derivative of his safek, d'havilo, sveik sveika. Alright, the way Rashi explains why over here is a fake faker is because the husband is a safek. Right? Now she marries this safek. Now, to me, there are only two choices now. Either he is a chlal or he's not a chlal. So when he has bia with her, she is either a chlala or she is nitchalal or she's not. I mean, there's still only one safek. Just because she's married to him and she's a derivative of him doesn't jack into the fact that there is only one safek here. And if you look down, if you skip down in Rashi, like two Rashi down, it says fake sveika. Balahaya safek. Vi ba'ami koko vi pasil. That she is a derivative of his safek, and therefore she is a fake sveika. Again, very difficult. Usually, the normal way to explain a fake sveika is that there's a decision tree. Meaning that there's one tree that creates a safek, and there's a second safek that enters here that creates an additional safek, and that's why you have a fake sveika. You say, even if I say it goes bad in the first case, there's still a possibility that it can go good in the second case. Right, that you don't have over here. This woman is whatever her husband is, and therefore there's only one safek. I don't know, it's very difficult. For that reason, if you look, Tosafot Gozokin over here brings down the Rambam. He says, he brings the Rashi down. If you look, Tosafot Gozokin, I don't know where you have it. In the regular Gemara, it has the three lines down. In the Tosafot Gozokin, it says, Perish Rashi, Mishi, Yomana, Mishak, Mish, Sheikh Isa, Safek, Miduma. Right, Kak Bala, Safek Chalal. That her husband is a Safek Chalal. The Aram, Perish v'kedusha. Perek yutet. Right. So this is the Rambam. Shnit arei v'mishpacha safek halal o safek natin o safek mamzer. So now, what does the Rambam do? The Rambam enters an additional safek. The additional safek is that there's a family that has a halal mixed up in it. So now we have a tzveik tzveika, because umshil mishpacha zu kita shnit arvar chalka. Alright, so the fake, if you look at the Rambam, creates a double safek, which is, right, we have a mishpacha that has a safek halal mixed up in it. So in that case, when you look at each individual in the mishpacha, maybe they're the one who is the problem, maybe they're not the one who's the problem. And in addition to that, even if they are the problematic person, that person is a safek halal. That's how you get to a tzveik tzveika. You have a double decision, meaning that each individual has two tzveikos associated. Maybe they are the one who has the problem, maybe they're not the one who has the problem. Even if they have the problem, they're only a tzveik halal. So in that instance, you have a kosher meat. You have 10 pieces of kosher meat. Right? And then another, you have one piece of non-kosher meat that falls in. Right? So there, you have one tzveik. Right? Meaning that each piece of meat can either be a kosher meat or not kosher meat. Now, if you had that piece of meat that fell in was a tzveik, whether it was kosher or not kosher to start with, you generate a tzveik tzveika. Even though the only question is whether it's kosher or not kosher, there's still two tzveikos. One tzveik is this the piece of meat that fell in? Number two is that meat even? That's a tzveik tzveika. That is a case of tzveika. There is at least a second tzveik here. Friends of Rashi, I'm not sure. It's very unclear to me what the second tzveik is here. He's saying because you're a derivative claim of the tzveik, that makes you into tzveik tzveika. That's very difficult. In general, you need another decision tree in order to create that tzveik. All right. Now, the Mishnah continued. If you remember, the Mishnah said, Vadan bivadan mutar. Right? This is, if you're a Vadai bivadai, it was mutar, that was the Mishnah said, but if it's Sefik, Vadai, Vadai, Bisefik, it is Asura. Remember, you done Marav, Aloha, right? Aloha is like Rabbi Elazar. Aloha is like Rabbi Elazar of our Mishnah, who said that only Vadai bivadai can marry, but Vadai bisefik, Sefik bivadai, Sefik bivadai, can't not marry. Kiamrita kamedi shmoor mele, Hillel shone asara yuchzim, alumi bavel, kulan mutarim lo vo zevadeh. But Amarat Aloha to Rabbi Elazar. Right, what are you doing? Well, saying we have a Mishnah right before this. The first Mishnah said that there are 10 yuchzim. All of those psulim that Ezra took up from Bavel can marry into each other. So you have a Stam Mishnah, right? That Hillel, that's Miukas too. Hillel, as we saw in the Braisa, that says that you can marry them. Then you have Rabbi Elazar who says you can't. And why are you passing like Rabbi Elazar? So Mer says Rami Drava Drav, Rami Shmuel Shmuel. So steer between Rav and steer Shmuel. Why is this? Ditmar, Arusa Sheyibra. Right, so a Arusa became pregnant. Right, this is a woman who's engaged, becomes pregnant. Rav Amar Avlad Mamzer. The blood is, the product of this marriage is a Mamzer. Shmuel Amar Avlad Shtuki. Right, so that it's a questionable. The product, the offspring of this woman is questionable. Rav Amar Avlad Mamzer Umutar Be Mamzeret. And he is permitted to marry a Mamzeret. So what's this? This is a case where you have a suffix as to the status of the Ubar. We don't know where it came from. Nevertheless, Rav says it is a qualified or classified as a full-fledged mamzer. So if that's the case, he's saying basically some of that safek is equivalent to a full-fledged mamzer can marry a mamzeret. That's against his psak, like Rabbi Lazar, who says that safek for safek or safek for badai cannot marry. Shmuel mar avlad shtuki vasugar mamzeret. Shmuel says a offspring from such a marriage is a safek. A safek may not marry a badai mamzeret. But yet in the just now, he criticized Rav for passing like Rabbi Elazar and says the halacha is like Hillel, who says all the different types of sulim can marry each other. In that list is Shtuki and Mamzer. So he thinks that they can marry each other. So why is he saying over here they cannot? So why says Ipuk, of course, the solution, put the opinions here. Rav Amar Avlad Shtuki, Shmuel Amar Avlad Mamzer. So if they do that, then their opinions line up now because Rav always thinks that it's a safek and they may not intermarry. Shmuel says that it's a vadai and they can intermarry. Well, if that's the case, why do I need two of each of their opinions? I have one opinion by Rav, by the Arusa, that says it's a safek, and I have Rav telling me the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar. And by Shmuel, I'm saying the halacha is like Hillel, plus he's saying over here that it's a shtuki. Why do I need both of their opinions? Tzricha, deed, marbaha, if in this case, v'akamar Rav mishum derog sheri mitzvah, in the case of the Mishnah, in general, most of the people in the world are sherim. So in that case, he says, basically, I have a suffix about the lineage of the Ubar. And since I have a suffix about the lineage of the Ubar, it probably is that he's kasher. And therefore, I don't want him intermarrying with Mamzer. I've a hot the rope, Suleiman, by an Arusa, Everybody's psula. There's no permitted marriage for her, except for the Baal, and even there, somewhat questionable. I won't produce a mom there, but there's nobody besides the Baal that is permitted to her. So, maybe it'll be to Shmuel. In that case, they can marry a Baal mom there, because it's kimat, 99% that the Ubar is problematic, right? Maybe if you said the other way, because over there you can peg it on the arus. At least you have someone who can say is definitely kasher and the most likely candidate for the right being the father of this baby. Maybe in the case where it's unknown, you'll agree to Shmuel Tricha. That's it. So don't flip their opinions around. Oh my, mom says to come a rab. Right? What does it mean that Rab says that it is a mamzer, the product of this marriage is a mamzer? Rab, love mutar b'mamzeret, not that it's mutar b'mamzeret, ela dasur b'vat Yisrael. That when it says that it's a mamzer makes it into a, right, something that is asur b'vat Yisrael, not that he's mutaret b'mamzeret. I mean, there are always two sides when you classify someone as a mamzer, there are always two outcomes to that or two issues. One issue is that they may not marry a mamzeret. The second issue is that they may not marry a bat Yisrael. So when Rab says it's a mamzer, he's just saying from the sad that he can't marry a bat Yisrael, but not that it's permitted to marry a mamzeret. Ushmol amar mav shtuki, the marriage of shtuki, the asur b'vat Yisrael. Right, it's also asur b'vat Yisrael because the shtuki can't marry into a bat Yisrael. If that's the case, hainu d'rab. Now they end up with the same opinion. They're both saying that the problem is marrying into a bat Yisrael and marrying a mamzer. Elamai shtuki, shemishtakin oto midin kiuna. Right, that we don't allow him to marry into a kohen, but otherwise they can marry a Yisraeli or a mamzer. Pshito. Right, hashta midin Yisrael mishatkin le midin kiuna mibaye. Right, that's the case. Wait. If Shmuel is saying that you can't marry an Israeli, then certainly you can't marry a Kohen. We don't let him inherit from his father's possessions. I mean, in this case of the Arus. Right, in the case of the Arus, if he goes ahead and says, I'm one of the claimants to the, right, to this, they get married eventually. They have children. I'm a party to the inheritance. So then he says, I'm a Bukhar too. Shita, it says, we don't know who the father of this child is. Look, Tricha, the Tophos, he went and grabbed it ahead of time. So generally, we have a principle sometimes, Tophos will mufkinim ilay. If he already grabbed it, then the burden of proof is on us now. Right? So the burden of proof is on us, so that we should have to, right, we should have to prove that he wasn't the father. Right? Says, no, if the automatic assumption is that he's not the father of here, Mishakkin, so we shut him out of the Yerusha. Vivai Zima, Mashtuki. What does the shtuki mean? Beduki. That we check him out. Shibutkim et imo. Right? And we check out what his mother says. Omer the kasher, merit the kasher nivalti in a minute. If she says it was to a kasher, then we don't worry about it. Come on. Give Rabbi Gamliel. Right? Damash, chadazim. Then we hear this in Shmuel already. The tznaim of a mishnah. Aitam uberet v'amrula mati busha uberzeh. Hey, she's pregnant. They say, where did you get this uber from? Ish poni v'koheinu. Right? It's from this gentleman, and he is a Kohen, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Eliezer, Omrim, Ne'emenet. Right, he says they are believed. Rabbi Yeshua, Omer, and Ne'emenet. He says that he's not believed. Rabbi Rabbi Yehuda, Meshmol, Loka, Ki Rabbi Gamliel. There you go, straight out. That Loka is like Rabbi Gamliel. That she's Ne'emenet. Why do I need a whole other case here by Arusa Shibro to tell me that the Loka is like Rabbi Gamliel? Tricha. Dimi, Otam, Avamina, Rogue, Kshirim, Mitzla. The majority of them are Kshirim, Mitzla, of a Loka. The rope, Sulam, Mitzla, Imelo. That's not the case, Tricha, and that's what you were asking Shaul, so now we have the other case, Vayibra, to tell us exactly that. That even though Shmuel said it before, we need him to say it again, because Rope Sulam Etzla by the Arusa. Right, Tanya, we have a price. Chain, Rabbi Lazar Omer, Kuti, Lo Yisa Kutit. Right, a Kuti cannot marry a Kutit. So that's interesting. In the Mishnah, right, Rabbi Lazar only addressed the issues of Vaday Bavaday, and Suffix Bavaday is Vaday Bisuffix. So he said, when it's a Vaday Bavaday, it was fine. Suffix vade suffix was problematic. Over here, he's saying a kuti can't marry a kuti. Right? That's a vadai bavadai, and he's saying they can't marry. Why is this? My time. Amar Rabbi Yosef asuki ger lachar aser doros qualifies and classifies them like a ger after the 10th generation. The Tanya, what's the difference? What a ger after 10 generations? Is there any ger after 10 generations? Does it matter for a ger? No. There's no ger. The only thing we have is either a ger is mutarit right away. Or we have a ger that is mutar after shlosh generation shlosh dorot. Or we have a ger that's also the olam. What's it after a sarad dorot? The tanya of a price, a ger after a sarad dorot mutar b'mamzeret. A ger until the first in the first 10 generations may marry a mamzeret. Why? Because ger is not ikrei kal Hashem. Therefore, he may marry a mamzeret. Mikam elach asur b'mamzeret. From the 10th generation on, he may not marry a mamzeret. Why not? Because we're afraid that he's going to get mixed up with a regular Yisrael. Since he's been part of Yisrael for so long, even though he has a lineage of Gerim all the way down to the 10th generation, nevertheless, people just see him now as a regular Yisrael. Now he goes out and marries a mamzeret. They're going to think that a regular Yisrael can go marry into a mamzeret. The classification is not exactly Kendall Rose, but right, once they lose the shame of Avodah Zarah or Avodah Chachamim, that would suck to him. I mean, that he's already, people forget that's where he came from. So, everybody, how can you compare this case to the Kuti case? Hatam ger yashan umamzeret chadasha. Tell you about a ger that's been around for a while. And this mamzeret who is fresh, meaning that we know that she's a mamzeret. Amri bar Yisrael, they're going to say that he's a Jew. The Kanasi Mamzeret, he's marrying into a Mamzeret. Hocha, Idvi Idi, Kadadin into. The Kuti and Kuti, they're both identifiable, we know who they are. What's the reason not to have them married? Elegiyatar of Dimam Rabbalaz, Sarala, Ki Rabbi Shmal. He holds like Rabbi Shmal, the Rabbi Shmal, Sarala, Ki Rabbi Kiva. And Rabbi Shmal holds like Rabbi Akiva. What is that? So let's say, first of all, what is Rabbi Lazar, Sarala, Ki Rabbi Shmal? What does that mean that Rabbi Lazar holds like Rabbi Shmal? Damar Kutim, Geire, Arayotim. First of all, the Gerim, the Kutim, there's two possibilities when it comes to Kutim. Kutim converted in the time of, right, when the time that Melech Ashur moved around all of the nations, he brought the Kutim to the Shomron, they were getting eaten up by the lions. So over there, they converted because they were afraid of the lions. So the questionable, when they converted, did they convert with a, you know, with a false conversion, meaning that they're Geri Amet, they're real converts, or they just converted because they're afraid of the lions? Because they had that belief that you have to keep whatever the god, the local god is, you have to keep whatever that religion is in order to protect them. So they converted to be Jews to protect themselves, but they didn't really become Jewish. So that's my focus. Rabbi Shmuel is of the opinion that they're Geri Arayotim. So that's the case, they are really goy, they're really old Kachavim, they're not real Kachavim. Number two, Rabbi Shmuel is not like Rabbi Kiva, Damar Kachavim, Evan, Abali, Bet Yisrael, Blad Mamzer. And they also, what? The problem is that a non-Jew or an Evan that marries a Mamzer, right, will be a quote unquote problematic marriage, because according to Rabbi Akiva that will produce a mamzer. So now what's the fear here? So this is also a little bit to be honest, a little bit far fetched, but the fear is over here. That Rashi suggests that there were possibly some there's a possibility that some of them married into a Israelite or got mixed up with Israelites, and therefore they produced mamzerim. And there's also a possibility that there was a Kuti that really was a good convert. So we have this problem that if a Kuti marries a Kuti, you could possibly have a mamzer, right? A child Kuti is in the family of the Kuti, that's a mamzer because he married a Bat Yisrael. If he marries a Bat Yisrael, they produce a mamzer. There could be another family Kuti that really converted. They really did it for, even though the rules of them were the Geri Arayot, they're really good Kuti, and therefore they're Jewish, and now he's going to have a mamzer marrying a Jew. So that's the fear of Kuti and Kuti. That's what Rashi explains it.
That just one did a real one.
Right. That's the fear over here. That's
that got him on there. One family, which really happened. One family did the Shema, one did.
Okay. Yeah. You could create the same problem that way. Right.
But then is that
it would if they're full Jews. Then if the woman married the Kuti, then it would produce a mamzer. Okay, right. So the Tosfos explains a similar case to you. Says the Kachnir, the real phrase, he ain't the Bnot Yisrael nitzvah ubehem, right? That we know the Bnot Yisrael got mixed up with them. Hafan nami nitzvah ubehem bnei Yisrael. They're also regular Jews that got mixed up with them. Came into Kesavra ubi kachomim ever abal bat Yisrael vlad bamzer. Ikle mechash shema echad mehem Yisrael gamur shnolad Yisrael v'Yisraelit. One of them turns out to be, you have Jews that Israel and Israelites, they're mixed up there. Echad shema mamzer umi ubi kachomim shabal bat Yisrael. I don't know, they're coming up with all these situations where you can have this questionable lineage based on the fact that they came out. Now, Gemara's going to reject this. Mitzvah like Rabbi Shmuel to Rabbi Akiva. Does Rabbi Shmuel really hold like Rabbi Akiva? V'amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shmuel. Minayin lo'ubi kuchavim ve'evet sheba'u ala kohenet. V'alo leviyah v'alet yisot shepaskuwa. That they make her pasul. Shenemar. V'at ke'en ki tiyeh almana u'grusha v'zera ein la. Mitzvah yesh lo amanut v'gerushin. Yatza ubi kuchavim ve'evet she'en lo amanut u'grushin. That says what? That they are not, if that's the case, since they don't have Amanut and Grushim, they are posel, this woman, or these women, from then marrying into a queen. V'yitzakadatcha, sever like Rabbi Akiva, Rishmael holds like Rabbi Akiva. What do you have here? You have a guy who is marrying a Kohenet, Leviyahu, by the Torah, in relationship with them. What are you producing? You're producing a mamzer. If you produce a mamzer, then for sure the woman is plus psula. What do you need to tell me about? What do you need a limud to tell me that the woman's psula if we know she's producing a mamzer? Hashta mamzer have a mitzvah would be atomi by it. What do I need to learn a limud to find out that she's psula? If she's producing a mamzer, we know by definition that's a product of a marriage that is inappropriate, halakhically inappropriate. So of course she's psula. Ella Rabbi Lazar, Savalak Rabbi Shmuel. Right, well, okay, Rabbi Lazar holds by Rabbi Ishmael. Damakutim Gera Rayotim. The Sarah like Rabbi Akiva, and he holds like Rabbi Akiva. Not that Rabbi Shmuel holds like Rabbi Akiva, but rather Rabbi Lazar holds out like Rabbi Akiva. Damahubi Kokovim Ever Babacho, Vlad Mamzer. Now, of course, that doesn't work so well. Umi Sarah, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Akiva. Does Rabbi Lazar really hold like Rabbi Akiva either? Vama Rabbi Lazar, Apopish and Ekoku, Bechamayu, Bechilo, Bechamot, Motim, Shein Mamzer. Elamish, Isuro, Isur, Erva, Banush Karet. So now, this is a machlokas, we know, this we spoke about, I think Tzvi brought it up a week or two ago, that Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel have a machlokas with regards to Yivama, that Tzarot Erva, right? In general, if a person has multiple wives, right, and then he passes away, then his brother has to perform Yivam with one of those women. If one of those women is an Erva to his brother, according to Beit Hillel, all the women go free without Yivam, without Chalitza, because it's what's called, one of them is Erva, and the other co-wives are Tzarot Erva. They all go free without having to do anything. According to Beit Shammai, the only person that goes free is the Erva, the wife that is an Erva. The Tzarot Erva, you can perform Yivam with them or Chalitza with them, if you do one or the other. So it works out like this. If, according to Beit Hillel, right, if you go ahead and you follow Beit Hillel, according to Beit Shammai, they look at Beit Hillel's women, the only problem you have there is that you violated Nisr Lav. Why? Because, according to Beit Hillel, the Erva goes free, plus the co-wives who are Tzarot Erva go free. Now, if those co-wives go out and marry other people, what are they in violation? They're in violation of the Nisr Lav, right, and she can't go out, she can't be to an outside marriage. That's a violation of a law. So the Beit Shammai, the worst situation in the women of Beit Hillel is that they violated a law. According to the other way around, according to the Beit Shammai, right, who said that you can marry a Tzarot Erva, then it turns out that what? That if you follow the Shita Beit Shammai, you're marrying a woman who's a co-wife to an Erva. According to Beit Hillel, you're not allowed for Mibum. That means now you are Pogeya Be'eshenach. You're Pogeya in Erva for Beit Hillel. So the women of Beit Shammai, if they did actually follow the Shita Beit Shammai, they could produce Mamzer in the Shita Beit Hillel. So now, according to this, it turns out, the Gemara in Yevamot says this, that Beit Shammai, they did not withhold their women. They used to marry into both families each way. So how did they do that? Beit Shammai used to be, or indicate to Beit Hillel, which families were the product of a Tzarot Erva. They used to keep track of that, and they would say to them, don't marry into that family, because for you, that's a Mamzer. But they didn't, again, they didn't withhold going towards or marrying into each other. So now they here they are, Modim Zelazesh Imamzer, right, that they agree to each other that the only way you can produce a mamzer is through Isra Erva Vanush Karet. So if you say that, then they definitely don't hold like Rabbi Akiva. Because that's exactly what Rabbi Lazar is saying over here. Rabbi Lazar is saying that even though Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai disagree about Sarot, right, the only way you produce a mamzer is through an Isra Erva that has a Chiyuv Karet. That means by an Isra Lav, again, that Beit Hillel's women for Beit Shammai are only an Isra Lav. According to Rikiva, Isra Lav, that's also a mamzer. So you see the fact that they're only saying that there's an Onesh Karet only a mamzer by an Onesh Karet shows you that they don't hold up, or Rabbi Lazar does not hold up, Rabbi Akiva. Elok, Yata, Rabbi, Amr, Rabbi Chia, Amr, Rabbi, Amr, Rabbi Yochanan, Amr, Ilah, Amr, Rabbi Abba, Barzavda, Amr, Rabbi Yachanin, Amr, Ilah, Amr, Rabbi Yochanan, Baridi, Amr, Rabbi Yoshub, and Levi, Shalosh, Machlokot, Vadabar. There's a three-way machlokes, right, doing with the Kutim. Rabbi Shmuel Savar, Kutim, Gere, Arayotain. That's what we saw already. Rabbi Shmuel's opinion is that they were invalid or inappropriate. Gerim. Vikoanim, Shinitmu, Behem, Kunim, Psulim, Ayu. And the Kohanim that got mixed up in them were Kohanim Psulim, Shenamar, Yesulam, Mixotam, Kohanim Bamot. So this is, again, the fact that the Kohanim are mixed into them is kind of irrelevant to this, but it happens to be that's what the Psukim say. The Psukim say that the Gemara deals with what it is. So the Kohanim that got mixed in with them, the assumption is that they were already Psulim from beforehand. These were Psulei Kuna, they got mixed up with the Kutim. The Kutim were not Jewish, because they were not proper converts. And the Gwanim got mixed up with them already Psulei Kuna. So Ramar Rabbi Yochanan, Mina Kutsim Shiba'am. When it says, Eisu Lahem Mitzotam, Kohanei Bamot means from the kotzim, either the thorns or the disgusting ones of the nation. And that's why they made them pasul. They made them pasul because they were, right, they were ready from families that were psulim beforehand, and then they married into the kutim, who were also, right, problematic in the sense that they were already, they were not full converts. So therefore, there's no question about the lineage or the, right, these kohanim over here. Rabbi Akiva Savar, kutim gere emetem. Right, Rabbi Akiva is the other way around. What? That they are full-fledged gerim. Ukanim shnit bubam tonim kshirim ayu. But the kohanim that joined in were good kohanim. Shnemar v'yisul ha'em mikkotam kohanim b'mot. V'amar rabbi barchanan, rabbi yochanan min ha'bechirim sheba'am. Right, bechirim sheba'am is like the kitsim, right, the kitsinim. Right, that those are where they, right, the Rashi has this in Bamidbar, right, Maloso, when it says that mikseya'am, that there was a attack where Hashem killed out people on the kseya'am, right, what the kseya'am is mean kitsinim sheba'am, right, it means the officers, the higher level ones. So that's how it's over here. The kohanim got mixed up over there, right, is the kohanim that got mixed up over there were kohanim that were kohanim kis sheirim that got mixed up with the kutim. So then it's not a problem. Why not? Because the kohanim kutim are gere arayot, gere amet. According to Rabbi Akiva, they're full-fledged Jews over here. So if bnei ba'atzrum, or what's the problem here? Bnei shiyum abim et arusot upotrim et nisuot. They had this minhag that they only used to preserve yibum with arusot and not with nisuot. I mean, we do yibum, right, both cases, but we don't. Over here, they used to say, if she's married already, once she was married, full-fledged marriage, there's no yibum here. My darshi, how did they learn that out? Says, lo tiyayish tamei tzachutza l'ishak. So now, when they darshi, we usually read the pasuk, lo tiyayish tamei, the isha of the dead person shouldn't go out, achutza, shouldn't go out free, right? The ishzar, meaning that she shouldn't go out. Lo tiyayish tamei, achutza l'ishak. That's how you would parse the pasuk. The way they parsed the pasuk was like this. Lo tiyayish tamei tzachutza. Right, that it's a noun phrase here, which is eshet ha'meit achutza. Only if the eshet ha'meit is a chutza, then there's a restriction against ishzar. But if she's not a chutza, then there's no ishzar. What is an eshet ha'meit achutza? Right, ach the yotva chutza, he lo tiyel ishzar. The one who stayed outside, that's an arusa. She never ever married, never got together with the baal. That's a eshet ha'meit achutza. Right, that's a noun phrase, a wife of the mate who was chutza. Right, that she was always outside. She never became a full wife to this person. Then she's restricted from marrying an ishzar. But the one who did not sit out can marry an ishzar. Alright, Rabbi Akiva Letamei, this is, here you go, this is the reason of Nitzmu. Rabbi Akiva Letamei, Dara Yeshmam Zermi Chayve Lavin. Rabbi Akiva is according to his own opinion that says that there is a Mamzerus from Chayve Lavin. So once you have a Mamzerus from Chayve Lavin, and they are in violation of this Chayve Lavin, why? Because they used to be like Yivamot, who were, should have had to perform Chalitza. They used to let them go free without performing a Chalitza or a Yibum. And because of that, then they ended up with Isurei Lavin. Those Isurei Lavin, according to Rabbi Akiva, produced Mam Zerim, or Mam Zerim. So that was the problem for Rabbi Akiva with the Kutim. That's why the Kohenim Nitmu got mixed up, were problematic because of this. Probably, even though they were Kohenim Sheirim, but when they got mixed up in these families that had these Yisro Lavim involved with them, then they started to produce Mam Zerim according to Rabbi Akiva. We'll stop here. It's a good sugya, but we don't want to stop over here.